Hey, howdy everybody. We are here live at TotalCon for Portal Gaming Podcast. This is the Brant.
And this is your co-host, Brian.
Yeah, and we're up here in Mansfield, Massachusetts at the Total Confusion Gaming Convention. And we've been having a good time. How's it been going, Brian?
Yeah, no, I got in last night and, you know, we've played a few games so far. You got in a day or before I did, so
yeah,
we've had a little more time. But
yeah, we've been having a good time. Came up here, just got a chance to hang out and play some games. And there's a good number of people up here. Maybe 1,000 people or so.
Yeah.
500, 1,000, I'm not sure. I'm good with numbers. But yeah, this is a convention that's going on for 30 years, and this is our first time.
Yeah, and it's definitely, like, you can see the board game influence. Like, you were even talking about how it started off, like, as an RPG sort of event, and the board games have taken off in the past 5 years. Is that what you said? Or
I mean, I think board games always been a part of it.
Well, yeah, but like they've really,
but with the popularity, yeah,
expanded.
Yeah, I think that's a piece. So,
yeah, no, it's been good, and there've been a lot of events that, you know, are running pretty much all the time. I think we ended at like 2 a.m. You know,
yeah.
With like one of the later ones last night. So,
yeah. So we've been having fun. So those of you who are wondering about this convention, happens every time around this year, February, and. And they're pulling people. They've got RPGs going on all over the place. There's different events. There's like some live action movie stuff they do in a room. And then there's a board game room. There's miniatures. And what am I missing? There's a dealer hall where you can purchase different things and whatnot. They've got food set up for people various times during the day. Some eating places. So I guess the important thing is, where is it? We're at the Holiday Inn in Mansfield, Massachusetts. So that's where you can come and check it out. So I think it's been a great time. It's been good for us. We're here kind of representing the store, wearing our shirts. I've been talking to people, handing stuff out, finding people from the area. A lot of people are 1 or 2 hours away from the store, and that seems like a good distance for them. So they've been interested.
Yeah.
Maybe some of you are listening for the first time because we met you at the convention. So, hi.
Yeah.
glad you're listening to us now. So, that's been a good time. I've seen a couple other podcasters here, too, that we've talked to. Mainly Cardboard Jungle, I know.
Yeah. And I mean, Flip the Table has been around.
Yeah, Flip the Table's here.
I don't think we really talked to them, but
Nope. So, a couple other podcast people, too. So, that's been a good time. So yeah, if it's something that you are hearing about for the first time, I think it's definitely worth checking out and seeing what would interest you and those different things. Seeing even some people who've been around the store or up here hanging out, RPGing, playing games and stuff. So that's neat to run into people, you know.
Right, or those people that kind of like you walk by and it's like, oh, you guys are in Connecticut or something like that, where it's like that connection is there, and all of a sudden now we're able to build upon that community, kind of expand the reach of the store. And even besides that, like, we get to like play games with a bunch of people that we might not cross paths with on a normal basis, you know. So
yeah, I definitely think it's definitely been worth it coming up here and hanging out. So I guess we should talk about games that we have that we have tried out while we're up here. I played Through the Ages. That was the first game I played. I actually played with my wife. She's up here too. She's been on the podcast before a couple times. And so we played Through the Ages, and this is the new one, the 4th edition. So we
got
a
new story of civilization, right?
That's a new story of civilization. So we got a chance to run through that. We're not going to go into a lot of details about games on this one. I think it's just kind of hammering through what we've been doing, but definitely liked it. I kind of went the military route in this one, and she went kind of the score points, and military did sweep over a little bit at the end, which you can do. So we're still interested in kind of looking into that, But overall, it's a good game. I really liked it. It really clipped along well. I mean, it was 2.5 hours, but that's an engaging game. And that was just a great, like, I mean, think of watching a movie for 2.5 hours, and it engages you the whole time. So we thought that was a great time frame on that. So
and, like, you just rented that one out, right? Like, it was available in the library or something?
Yep, so I got a board game library. I didn't think it was super big, and there aren't a lot of super new titles, but that was a great one that they had there. So, you know, and they've got events running all the time with people teaching games.
Yeah.
So that's what you could do. So that's a game I play. What have you played?
Yeah, so the first one that I got, I played Nippon with you, like, when we sat down, like, we got to the table, and, you know, I just got into the convention, And that was the first thing that we ended up sitting down to. So, I don't know, it's a really cool, like, Japanese... like, I don't know, how, what's the...
Industrialization of Japan.
Industrialization of Japan, that's a good way of putting it, Brant. no, so it's a really, it's a good heavy Euro. I think I was expecting something worse based on, like, a couple, you know, random things here and there that I heard. And I had a good time. I guess it was fun. I guess it didn't trigger as, like, oh, this is the best game, but it was a fun heavy Euro, so... I would definitely play that again. I think we kind of ran into the issue where we weren't sure if we would want to play it with more than two or more. Like, you know, it might get a little bit AP, or like it just might not be as fun with like a higher player count. But I don't know. Either way, it was a fun game. I liked it.
Yeah, and it was different to me. Like the other game I think of like that is Grand Austria Hotel, mm-hmm. where there's so much brain birdiness and AP. That I don't know I want to play that with a lot of people, but that's a pretty short game with two people, so I don't know that it would be super long. I just feel like I wouldn't be super engaged with two.
Yeah.
Japan, I think you'd still be engaged. I don't think it would be the AP. It just seemed like they would add so many other layers to like figuring out what's going to be there when it gets back to my turn. And
yeah.
I liked that it just kept moving with the two of us. Like, you take your action, because the actions are pretty short.
Yeah.
And I already know what I want to do, and I'm doing that, and then you're resolving yours. And I liked that movement to the game.
Yeah.
Kept it in that vein that I really liked. So, but definitely replayable, definitely
yeah.
Definitely a fun one to try again. So I would see it, and I wouldn't be adverse to playing with four. I would just wonder if I would play it with four and go, yep, nope, that's not for me. But I am not the heavy Euro.
Right.
And typically, you know.
Yeah, I guess
they're not very pick and choose with those. So.
Yeah. I guess there was the only, like, we had a little bit of an issue just based on, like, endgame scoring, where all of a sudden
right.
we kind of, like, assumed that things were going to be scoring a certain way, and then once we get to the final, like, we get to the last round, and all of a sudden we're looking at it, and it's like, this isn't what we assumed. So then it was just kind of, like, a weird, like, I don't think we actually played a game that actually merits, like,
yeah.
a full, like, review of it. Like, it was... Not the full, like, it wasn't really the actual game that we ended up finishing.
Right,
because we had played with a different assumption for end game scoring. So it definitely would warrant another one just to, like, actually know how it does score and, you know, go through. Like, we didn't do it incorrectly. We just, our assumptions on what our good engine was going to be was, like, those assumptions were incorrect.
Right.
So...
Yeah,
that's it. That was the only thing. So it definitely would be one that I'd be willing to play again.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Like, we're not all these games. Like to say we're like reviewing them. We're really just talking about our yeah. experience and what it was and how we felt about it. You know, it would definitely warrant another play or two before I could say, oh, this is where this game falls in the line of games. You know.
Well, I think there's some value to that too. Like, there's been a lot of talk of like how many times are you supposed to like play something to review it, but like. With this one, I know very clearly after one play that I want to play it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not discarding it saying, like, okay, you know, even if we played it right, like, it wasn't fun. Like, it was a good game based on that first play, so I don't know how far its legs can go, you know? I don't know how many plays it could have in it, but
yeah.
It's definitely one that I want to keep going with and keep exploring and see how it does trigger, so.
Well, in that vein... The What's Your Game published games, which is Nippon, right, I think as you got here, Kathy and I were playing, let's see if I can do it, Signorie,
yeah.
I believe is how it's pronounced, or Signori.
That's probably how we announced it was going to be the pre-release for it. So.
Yeah, so. We've got a chance to play this, and actually you've played it before, right?
Yeah
we played it.
Yeah,
so.
We played it.
But I played this. It's kind of neat. So at the hotel here, they have like a separate like breakfast area, and they overflow the board games into that area at certain times of the day when breakfast isn't happening and other things. So we sat in like kind of a circular booth. It was kind of, you know, quieter there, and just kind of neat being out in the open, not kind of the hot, loud game room.
Yeah,
and we got to sit and play this, and you know, Kathy kind of said, "Hey, you could teach me a couple new games,"
yeah.
but you know, at some point.
And they actually even roped off the whole section for you, so it was nice.
And we may have crossed a barrier. But so, yeah, I think she enjoyed it. This is, you know, you're the head of an Italian household, and it's a kind of action selection dice drafting game. And you can kind of get bonus actions, and then it's got some area control mechanisms, which is funny with some of the things we'll talk about later. But really nice game. I after a couple, or, you know, after that and Nippon, I do like this better than Nippon. I can see long term. It feels more replayable. It's just simpler. I don't want to really compare it to that. Nippon, it's not really fair, but just in terms of the same publisher, this one I've really latched on to. This is a game I could see me playing a year from now.
So you've played it once four player and once a two player game. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you feel comparing those?
That wasn't a big deal. I mean, in two player, you roll the dice and numbers determine things, and if you roll like two sixes,
then there's no...
Whereas in four-player, if you roll two sixes, a four, and a one, there's some options there without going into details of how the game is. So that could be different, but it never seemed that hindering. I did have a lot of turns where I only took three dice, and you can take four.
Okay.
But I didn't, but it still, you know, it still worked out. It still seemed to work. So it was good on that front. The only part that was limiting was kind of there's this center place where you marry off the daughters in your family and you send the boys on diplomatic missions, and you from four player to three player you go from five cities down to three, and some of the tiles that you can gain as bonuses there seemed a little more limited because they don't move out, and that was a little tricky. You were saying that was frustrating even in the four player, or just confusing. So.
Well, those cities fill up pretty quickly, too, where it's just... I guess you only do have three cities available as opposed to, like, five? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess that helps. That makes it a little more...
limiting.
Yeah, compact.
Yeah, so you compete. And, I mean, it was the same. We pretty much filled all the cities by the end, which was similar in the four... Actually, I think we filled them all in the four-player game completely, so...
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was something where it was like, well... Four player was amazing and two player was playable. It felt similar in both of them. So that's Signorie.
Yeah.
What's your game?
Then the next one we were kind of filling in, like we had a little bit of time before we had signed up for a game at 11. So we just did a quick game of Glory to Rome.
Glory to Rome!
Which actually was kind of unfortunate because someone had walked by looking to get in and it was like, well, we only have this small window, so then teaching a game would have been pushing it right up to, you know, like the first play of Glory to Rome is definitely a tough one for someone to get through.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I guess we kind of felt a little bad that we were like, well, we only have, you know, this amount of time, so we kind of played, you know, the three of us, like you, myself, and Kathy, so it was just like a quick game of Glory to Rome, which... you know, is a great game. I don't know. I guess we had talked about it on the last podcast, or one of the most recent ones.
Yeah, I think it was
ones.
The last one, yeah.
So, yeah, it's still is just such a great one, and it definitely had that, like, it was quick. I mean, there are some things, like I said, like, there are some things that are pretty powerful, but it's fast enough where you don't really care, like, if someone has a really strong engine, like, you could just pack up and play again or something.
Right, yeah. No, I beat you, so that was really good.
Yeah.
A lot of back and forth, but...
Did you try complaining at all in that one, or, like...
Complain strategy?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think I just beat you.
Yeah, all
right. I was frustrated at times, but that wasn't really complaining. That wasn't, this isn't fair. It was just, I can't make this work and get ahead, so... but that was fun, so... Good game. All right, last night... we slotted ourselves for an 11 o'clock game.
Yeah.
And this was Bertagna?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, Bertagna. Bertagne. Do you know who this was by? Placentia Games?
Sounds right.
Yeah, Placentia Games. So this is a game, love the theme. Love the idea of building lighthouses. So you're in this region and you're constructing all these lighthouses along the coast and various harbors. Of this Bretagne region, and so you know you're going to have to gather sand and stone and clay, brick and wood, and then you build the levels of the lighthouse. You build your way up, and you have workers you can assign, and there's some cards, and then once a lighthouse is completed, there's a whole scoring phase based on area control. Who has the most workers there, and there's a whole bunch of mechanics that I'm not going to get into here.
Yeah.
But we got a chance to play this. Somebody taught us the game, which was great, and played with two other guys. It just wasn't my game.
Yeah, I mean, some of that was probably the 11 o'clock time slot, but I mean, I could see you not wanting to play it again, even if it was, you know, the middle of the day.
Right.
Like, it was, I don't know, for me it was a little tough. Like, I guess you were talking about all the goods that you're collecting. This was totally just like, I need a red disc or like a brown disc or like a yellow disc. Like, you know, I wasn't like as invested in like, oh, this is sand or brick or stone, like that sort of stuff. But yeah, like Bran was saying, like it's a neat theme. It had that like majority sort of thing, and you're building up like an engine based on like what lighthouses you end up finishing, that sort of stuff. It was okay. It wasn't like I want to play this again and again. Like, you know, I think one play was enough for us. Unless there's someone that like is raving about how good it is, I don't think I would want to get it to the table again. You know, I would really need someone to convince me that I want to play this again.
it was one of those games where I said, oh, next time I would try this and that and the other thing, but I wouldn't feel like the game was any different because I was trying those things. I was just doing them to optimize my numbers and be like, oh, okay, well, I would score more next time, which means I would win, but it wasn't like I had more fun. I just optimized better. And it felt very jagged. Like, people were taking turns that were short, and then they were long, and then there was only one action, and then people had multiple things going on, and then there was bonus cards, and then I could do this or I could do that. And so it was like somebody's turn would be 10 seconds and then somebody else's turn would be 5 minutes and then they would reverse and it just didn't feel smooth. So unfortunately it was just a pass for me.
Yeah, I think there was a little, like there was some disconnect in certain areas too. Like I wonder, like just off the cuff here, we're like thinking about it. I was wondering maybe that deck of cards is like a missed opportunity based on like being able to do different actions or whatnot, like, because basically there's a deck of cards that you can get by taking different actions and whatnot, and all those cards are basically just score more points when a lighthouse is built, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that deck could have been like more interactive sort of thing, where all of a sudden that's a big part of it, where you're doing this back and forth, or you're like opening up more opportunities, not just like, oh, I'm collecting these are just point cards.
Yeah.
And I'm getting points anyway from finishing lighthouses. And it was a weird mix for me. Like, at the very, like, the last turn, all of a sudden, it's like, I just want to draw a ton of cards and put all my workers on these lighthouses, finish them, and then I just remove them for the points. So, you know, like, it was a little strange in that regards. And I think that could have been, that might have been a missed opportunity, but I don't know. I mean, that's just really from, like, quick brainstorming, not even like thinking about how to balance it or anything like that. I guess I just would have liked a little bit more interaction there with some like unique abilities, so you have like a wider variety or something. Like, it's not as set with what you're trying to do, and now you've got like different options.
Yeah, I feel like for me, I'm finding that area control is not a mechanic or a feature of a game that is heavily enjoyable for me. Now, I had played El Grande years ago, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed it then, and I know it's kind of like the father of area control games or whatever, and then we played it again, a rough go at it. I was not very patient or kind. And now I played this one, which is definitely area control, and it's that so up and down. Like, somebody could choose to take me out, and that might not be optimal, or then what do I have to do to convince them not to? And like, it's too up and down, whereas I think of something like Mission Red Planet, where the whole point is the area control is just going to go woo, 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 all over the place. And that's kind of the fun of the game. Like, you can never be too sure.
So you like Mission Red Planet area control, or like Blood Rage area control?
Oh, I definitely like Blood Rage area control. Yes.
But it's just funny, like, that's a different...
Maybe
guess
it's more temporary? I mean, it's definitely temporary in this game, but it's more... I don't know. I'm okay with this. It just, hey, it may just go away, and it's not the key to the game. Like,
all right.
But in some places, anyway, I don't know.
Did you ever play Shogun?
No.
All right. I don't know if I want to play it with you
anymore. Yeah. No, it could be true. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Area control. That's Britannia.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that was the one that ended at 2 a.m.
Yes.
So,
and then I went to bed promptly.
We caught some, got some rest, woke up for 10, thinking that Emerson, who designed like Spectre Ops and Volt and a couple other that are going to be on the way, like Caravan, I believe, is going to be one that's coming out from like from Z-Man now. So we assumed he was like saying, oh, hey, just meet us down, meet me down here at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll play a game or something, try some of the new ones. And when we got down there, he was nowhere to be found. So maybe we were just assuming, we kind of put the AM in place, and it was actually 10 at night that he was going to be around.
Yeah,
so,
we're not sure.
we'll check back at 10 at night, and then, yeah, hopefully he'll be around then. So it might have, but it's not a huge deal either way. I'm not upset about it. We got to play a game. We went down, and you know, there are all these other games that were going on too. So the one that we ended up hopping into with one of the guys that played Britannia with us was Ships, which is a recent Martin Wallace game. You know, as you're kind of progressing through all, like, what do you think?
Oh,
you're best way to describe.
Progressing through the ages of shipbuilding. So you start with old, like, Phoenician galley, you know, wooden boats, and then you get to modern day aircraft carriers and battleships and stuff. Or even just shipping, steamboats and stuff like that. You progress through building all these, and then meanwhile you kind of have like a colonization of the Mediterranean area, and you extend out there to the rest of the world. I guess the theme could be pasted on in some sense, but there's so many cards that played into that, and you know what you were doing made sense, but it had different qualities, but just a smooth game.
Yeah, no.
Those kinds of games, you know, these Euro games where, the mechanics and the theme may not be highly tied. It's all a big old point score. I mean, I think we scored 200 points by the end of the game. So it's just score, 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 score. Same with Russian Railroads. Mm. But it's just enjoyable because you just, I just do this little turn and then you do your little turn.
Yeah.
And you just keeps moving and progressing and, you know, you're getting more powerful. You're getting a few more actions each turn, which, you know, slows the game down. But it never felt frustrating. It never felt like, oh, my gosh, you know, that turn is 2 minutes. I can't sit here anymore. Like, you were thinking about what you're going to do and just watching them progress. And, ooh, that changes my plan. And so you were kind of engaged in the person's turn. So.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really enjoyable game.
No, yeah, it was really fun. And it was kind of like, it was one where it's like broken out into different ages. So as you kind of progress through the game, you know, like you're kind of scoring exponentially more points, like based on where it is. You know, you start off in like the first age, you'll score a couple points. And then like that last round, people were scoring like 50 some odd points as opposed to like, you know, the 4 that you got in the first round. So it's definitely one that scales up. You kind of build up your engine, and or not even really an engine, you just like remove stuff and you gain goods so you can turn those goods in to do other things. So you're not really like, you're not necessarily getting more powerful actions. You kind of have the same actions available throughout the entire game, but you're just collecting all those goods and kind of turning them in and trying to figure out like expanding upon like your cargo holds, basically.
Right.
That sort of stuff. So I guess that's where you're getting a little bit more of a functional ship. Like, you can do a little bit more with each turn.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was a really fun game. It was like opposite of Britannia, where it was like, oh, we could all play this, you know, again, like immediately. Like, it wouldn't be
that out of the blue. Wipe the board, let's go, let's start again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't do that, but we could have.
We thought about it. Yeah.
It was around lunch, though, so we're
hungry.
Yeah.
I would say if you are the rule book reader of your group and you acquire ships, this is a task in front of you. I was still missing rules. It's that tiny font. So, you know, feel free to contact me if you want help. I also saw that today Rotto put up his run-through of ships, so that might be a good place to go.
Yeah.
This one was just – the rule book wasn't bad. It was just – a tough game to follow. Is it a heavy game? Yeah, probably, as games go. But once you got used to it, it felt medium. It felt heavy to learn and medium to play. I don't know, what was your end? Not just learning and playing as opposed to teaching.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like... it wasn't like pull your hair out heavy, like in the sense that like you've got, you know, those set actions, like you're doing the same thing
right
the entire game. There are a couple turns where maybe it was like, okay, I'm gonna need to do this to do that to do that, and how do I optimize it? So it's really kind of that min-max sort of thing, like how do I best utilize my turn to get what I want, you know? And like there are things, like I think with this one, for me it was kind of like I'm trying to do this, like I think I missed a few opportunities, you know, just based on like trying to lay it out. And you know, like it's almost that like puzzly thing where you're kind of like spending goods and like placing them on, like once you take an action, you're kind of trading in some of your goods, and then you're going to be able to do your next action. And it felt like a couple times it was like, oh, hold on, since I did that, I'm not going to be able to do what I wanted to do, so I need to take that back and swap those goods back. So it was kind of that, like, you know, kind of like an undo button, like,
yeah.
And that was a little bit rough, just from like,
yeah,
trying to get everything correct. You know, I'm sure there were a couple errors that we made right throughout the game, but I didn't think that detracted from it. It just made me want to play it more.
Right.
You know.
So. Yeah, and even after one play, I felt like, okay, we've got this game down. Like,
yeah,
it makes sense. Any rules that we might have missed this time, I think we would sweep back and we'd pick them up and we'd be good to go from there.
Right.
We did have a question about a card we thought might be overpowered, and then after that, then like end game scoring that might be overpowered. But I mean, we all finished within 10 points of each other with over 200 points. So
yeah,
that's so a pretty close game with three people. So. Yeah, I would definitely check Ships out. I would definitely play it again.
Does it? Is it comparable to Brass at all? Like, I haven't played Brass yet, so I want to know if that's like in line.
The rule book is comparable to Brass in difficulty. Right.
It didn't really have the same feel.
No, Brass has a different feel. Okay. Brass is more mathy.
Okay.
See, one thing I was thinking about this game is this game really mathy? Is this like, well, over here is 17 points, and over here is 12 points, and a food or two food. Oh, well, so it wasn't always just a decision of, oh, this is 19 points, this is 17 points, I'll go with 19. It was like, well, I might want food and 12 points because that's going to build my engine. Or, honestly, in this game, I felt like it didn't really matter. Like, it did, obviously, who's going to win, but
right.
Like either way was okay. It wasn't like, oh, if you make this choice wrong, that's it. Like,
and that's if you don't build your feels? Engine.
And no, Brass is much more on the math end. Much more like, this is 32 points, and that's 27, and I'm going to do that for 32 points.
Oh, okay.
And there's not a lot of building your engine.
And, like, balancing, like, what you're
it's
trying to get.
Straight up, like, I got to play this streamline to score those points, but the choices and the actions to get yourself there are what are interesting.
Okay.
Right? How do I figure out how to score 32 instead of 27? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh, I can put this cube here and get 32 or 27. Well, that's an easy choice. It's, okay, I figured out 27. Is there a way to get 32?
Yeah.
And that's the fun. It's the thinking going into how I'm going to score those points. This one was, ooh, which choice do I want to do? It's the same action either way, but which one do I prefer? And again, like I said, at the end of the day, I don't think if on turn two you pick one over the other, that's it. You're done for the rest of the game. It seemed like it would pick up. So that was fun about this one. I think it's what kept it moving too. You weren't overly worried. The couple times we're like, I'm overthinking this. People would just finish their action and go. So Ships, Martin Wallace, Tree Frog Games.
Yeah.
Nice. That's what we've gotten to play today. So hopefully tonight we'll sneak in a couple other things and we'll talk about those on future episodes and whatnot.
Yeah.
But all in all, I think it's been good. Other things, seen stormtroopers walking around, so that's exciting. there's, you know, mostly Star Wars cosplay today, but that's a fun thing.
You know, those are just people.
What are you talking about? The stormtroopers are here? And I saw the Jedi. I figured there was going to be a battle soon.
Oh, that'd be cool. You think they'll
do Are you saying they're pretending?
Sorry, Brandon.
No, but that was neat. There's a restaurant here we got to eat at, so that was simple.
Yeah.
It wasn't the greatest food ever, but it's right here, and they serve some food out as well. So those are the things. Got a chance to go over to Gillette Stadium.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the home of the non-Super Bowl-winning Patriots. So that was good.
And you know who we're handing out, like, the podcast cards to? I mean, it's a lot of local, yeah.
That's okay. They could take it. So yeah, if you're in the area, it's a really easy drive up to Gillette Stadium. There's a ton of stuff going on around there. So, what do you think about families? Kathy and I have been talking about that, like bringing your whole family to an event like this.
With a one-year-old?
Sure. Well, start there since that's what you have. By the way, happy birthday to Brian's son, yeah, who just turned one.
Yeah.
So happy birthday.
So all the grandparents got him a ton of gifts. And
nice.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. He had some cake a little bit, so.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
But
so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't mention. Well, yeah. No, that was fun. But I don't think. I mean, it wouldn't be terrible to bring it. Like, it would be tough with a one-year-old just because a one-year-old requires so much attention anyway, you know, so it would just be, like, something where it's kind of, like, going back and forth, and one person would really kind of be more focused on that.
Right.
I don't think, like, it's nice because the venue is right in the hotel. Like, maybe that's where you've kind of got that saving grace. You kind of could do something like that. I guess if it kind of got to a little bit older, like, it does seem like it is a good place for, like, you know, some kids that can kind of be on their own a little bit. That was my phone, sorry. Yeah, you've got, like, some space for people to be on their own. There's, like, a pool. There isn't a whole lot, like, in the immediate vicinity, but, you know, there's some other games that people could, like, you know, play or whatnot. Like, some games that would be good for, like, kids or families or anything like that. So I guess when you get to that age where kind of you can have people off and doing their own thing, it's a little easier. It would be a fun venue for that. I don't know. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it's something that listeners might be wondering about, you know? And so I just wonder what you were thinking. I agree. I think the one-year-old thing is tricky. Basically, somebody'd have to resign themselves to the idea of, like, a couple, one person at a time. You know, hey, I'll be with the kid, and, you know, they'll have to go back to the room and nap. But I do think the walk is so close to the rooms.
Yeah.
That you're not so far away. It's not a Gen Con where you're doing a hike and it's like, what's the point?
You know,
you're constantly going back. You'd be close. You could play a game in your room if your kids are napping, if you're, you know, able to be quiet with that. Obviously at night kids go to bed earlier, so that would be tricky. But I think as they get older, as they get to the game playing age, you know, five, six, seven, you know, I really thought about with my daughter six and really been playing Ticket to Ride and Champions of Midgard and stuff with me lately. And I think it'd be pretty good. It's a little crowded here now, especially today. And I could see that being a hindrance trying to teach a kid and keep a kid focused. But there's also a pool here. And there are the places people could drive. So if you had somebody come with you and they wanted to come and then hang out for some part and then, hey, we'll drive the kids out here to do some stuff.
Yeah, but it's not like completely mobbed. It's not like you'd be worried about losing her in a crowd or something like that. It's more like there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of activity. Like there are those distractions, not like, you know, like it's small enough where it feels like it would be good even if, you know, your daughter did come or something like that.
And there's cupcakes and there's face painting.
And stormtroopers.
And real stormtroopers. So yeah, anyway, I think it'd be a pretty fun place to take the family and try it out and see.
Yeah.
You know what works. So that's it. That's Total Confusion. 2016.
Well, that's halfway.
Yeah.
We still got a little bit of time.
Yeah, we got a little bit more to go, so but all in all, it's been good. So let us know if you have any questions about the convention, want to know some other things. You know, send us an email. As always, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. If you're in the area or you're driving through Manchester, which is right outside Hartford, Connecticut, stop in, say hi to us.
Yeah.
Check it out. And, you know, you can log on our Facebook, The Portal on Facebook. Like us there. www.timemachineportal.com is the website, so you can go there for more info on store hours and whatnot. And I think we'll be back next year.
Yeah, I think it's been good. And then, yeah, I think next month, too, we might have a small presence at, like, ConCon, which is another convention. Yeah.
And we're in for Gen Con, so we'll be there. So so find us. We usually have Portal and or Time Machine t-shirts on.
Yeah.
So, you know, come say hi to us, please. If we're in the middle of a game, interrupt us. If you want to play with us, unless it's Glory to Rome, you know, jump in. I want to defend myself there. I love teaching games. Glory to Rome is one of the hardest games to learn. So.
No, yeah.
No, I don't think I was in the wrong. I'm just saying.
I felt bad for
that's
the guy.
That's just a tough game to jump into.
Right.
You basically have to play and lose once and then go, oh, yeah, I don't know what's going on. And then try it again and go, oh, I think I know what's going on. And then start to play. Anyway, yeah. So that's it for us from Total Confusion 2016. Anything else, Brian? Parting words.
No. Just thank you guys. If there's something that you want to hear, like Bram was saying, just let us know. So we can kind of better cover some of this sort of stuff, or just, you know, so you can listen to something that you want to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. If there's games you're looking to try or for us to review or check out, you know, just contact us and we'll do our best to get stuff at the store or play it ourselves and talk about it. You know, we're here for you guys. That's why we're doing this, get info out there and whatnot. So thanks for listening. That is this episode of Portal Gaming Podcast. As always, I'm your host, The Brant.
And I'm your co-host, Brian.
Nice, and we hope you step into the portal.